Chapter 9. A wedding is stopped and a man goes to prison. When Ralph and Mr. Gride arrived at the Bray's house, they found old Mr. Bray alone in his sitting room.
"Mr. Bray," said Ralph, "we have a plan that will make all three of us happy men."
"What plan is that?" Mr. Bray asked.
"You owe me a lot of money, and you owe my friend Mr. Gride a lot of money too. But we will forget all about it if you will do one thing for us. Let your daughter Madeline marry Mr. Gride," Ralph explained.
Mr. Bray looked worried.
"My dear daughter is a beautiful, kind girl," he said. "She should marry a fine young husband, and you, Gride, are a wicked old moneylender." "But I have no choice. I have no money. I will never be able to pay you."
"Mr. Gride has lots of money," said Ralph. "He will forget the money you owe him. If you let him marry Madeline, you will never have to worry about money again."
"I like your idea," said the old man, "but my daughter must agree to it."
"Mr. Gride can give her a better life," Ralph continued. "You must make her understand that."
"Shh! I can hear Madeline coming," whispered Mr. Bray. "Come here next week, and I will tell you my answer."
Ralph and Mr. Gride left the house by the back door. Several weeks went by. At the cottage in Bow, the Nicklebys were very happy. Smike always had a smile on his face. The Cheerable brothers often visited them. They brought presents for Mrs. Nickleby and Kate. Sometimes their nephew, Frank Cheerable, came too. He and Kate liked to sit together by the fire and talk quietly. One day, Newman Noggs came to see Nicholas.
"Your uncle has a plan," he said. "He wants his friend, Mr. Gride, to marry a beautiful young lady. Mr. Gride is an old moneylender and has agreed to pay your uncle for his help."
"Who is this beautiful young lady, Newman?" asked Nicholas.
"Her name is Madeline Bray," Newman replied.
"Madeline Bray? But she is the girl that I love. She must never marry that old moneylender," Nicholas cried.
"Then we must be quick, Nicholas. The wedding is tomorrow," Newman said.
"Tomorrow?" Nicholas cried. "I will go and see her in the morning. I will tell her not to agree to this marriage. I am the one who will marry Madeline Bray."
Early the next morning, Nicholas went to the Bray's house in a coach. Kate went with him. When they arrived, Ralph Nickleby and Mr. Gride opened the door.
"What are you doing here?" asked Nicholas.
"We have come to take Madeline to her wedding," Ralph replied.
"And we have come to save her," said Nicholas. "My sister and I will take her to our cottage if she agrees to come." Then Nicholas pushed past his uncle.
"Stay where you are," cried Ralph.
Suddenly, a terrible scream came from upstairs. It was followed by a loud crash.
"Get out of my way," cried Nicholas. Then he ran up the stairs two at a time.
In the bedroom, Mr. Bray lay on the floor. Madeline lay beside him. An old woman stood by the door.
"What has happened?" Nicholas asked her.
"Poor Mr. Bray is dead," she replied, "and I think Miss Madeline has fainted."
"Are you the owner of this house?" Nicholas asked.
"Yes, sir,"
the old woman replied.
"I am Madeline's friend," Nicholas explained. "My sister and I will take her back to our cottage and look after her."
Nicholas picked Madeline up and carried her down the stairs. He laid her gently in the coach. Then he turned to Ralph and Mr. Gride. The old moneylender stood quite still. He was shocked.
"Mr. Bray is dead, so your plan has failed," Nicholas told them.
I am taking Madeline away. Ralph tried to stop Nicholas and Kate taking Madeline with them, but he was not strong enough. Soon, Madeline was safe in the Nickleby's cottage. Mrs. Nickleby and Kate looked after her until she was better. Madeline did not marry Mr. Gride. The moneylender was very upset. But he had another surprise, and he went to tell Ralph about it.
"I have learned that Madeline is not poor at all. She is a rich young woman, but she doesn't know it," he said. "When her grandfather died, he left her £12,000 in his will. I found the will, but I had a woman working for me called Old Peg. Peg stole it and still has it."
Ralph listened to Mr. Gride's story, but he did not feel sorry for him. Mr. Gride was not the only person who was unlucky. Ralph had received some bad news too. He kept some of his money in a London bank, but the bank had lost it. He had lost £10,000. Ralph thought about his bad luck. Then he thought about Nicholas and Madeline Bray.
"I will get my revenge on him," Ralph said angrily to himself. "I have a plan."
He sent for Mr. Squeers, who was in London again. When he arrived, Ralph asked the schoolmaster,
"How are you, Mr. Squeers?" "I am very well, but I was upset to discover that Smike was Snawley's son," Mr. Squeers said.
"Don't be upset. It's not true," said Ralph. "We tried to trick Nicholas and Smike."
"I'm so upset with Nicholas," Ralph continued. "He's a terrible nephew. Last week, he stopped a wedding and took the bride back to his cottage. I now know that the young lady is very rich. Her grandfather left her £12,000 in his will. But then a woman called Old Peg stole the will," continued Ralph. "Mr. Squeers, I want you to find Old Peg and get the will back for me. If you do this, I will give you £100.
Then Ralph told Mr. Squeers the story of Madeline Bray. Mr. Squeers listened carefully. He thought of £100, and he quickly agreed to get the will. Mr. Squeers soon found out where Old Peg lived. He went to her house and knocked on the door. Old Peg opened the door.
"Who are you, and what do you want?" she asked.
"My name is Mr. Squeers, and I think you have a paper that you took from Mr. Gride. The paper is worth a lot of money," he said.
"Yes, I did take a paper from Mr. Gride," said Old Peg. "I have it here, but I can't read. I don't know what it says. How much money is it worth?"
"Give it to me, and I will read it to you," said Mr. Squeers.
Old Peg went to find the will. When she returned, Mr. Squeers took it out of her hands. Then he pushed the old lady out of the way and ran off. On the way back to Ralph's house, two people jumped out and knocked Mr. Squeers to the ground. It was Newman Noggs and Frank Cheerable, the Cheerable brothers' nephew. Newman had heard about Ralph's plan to get the will, and the two men had followed Mr. Squeers to Old Peg's house. Newman and Frank called the police, and soon the schoolmaster was put in prison for stealing. Back in Yorkshire, Mrs. Squeers picked up the long wooden cane, her bowl of medicine, and the school spoon, and walked into the schoolroom. Her children, Fanny and Wackford, followed her. They knew that Mr. Squeers was in prison, but they wanted life at Dotheboys Hall to continue as usual. Somehow, the boys knew about Mr. Squeers too. They were no longer frightened. They knew the schoolmaster was not coming back for a long time. They decided that it was time for change at Dotheboys Hall. When Mrs. Squeers and her children came into the schoolroom, one of the boys ran to the door and locked it. The other boys stood on their desks. They were shouting and laughing. The oldest boy took Mrs. Squeers' cap and put it on his head. Then he took the spoon and put it into the bowl. "Drink this," he cried, and made Mrs. Squeers drink a spoonful of the medicine. Another boy pushed young Wackford's head into the bowl of medicine, and the boys all screamed with laughter. John Browdie and his wife had also heard that Mr. Squeers was in prison and had returned to Yorkshire. When John arrived at Dotheboys Hall, he heard a very loud noise. It was coming from the schoolroom. "The boys have heard the news as well," he said to himself with a smile, "and they are very happy." The schoolroom door was locked. John pushed it with his shoulder. It opened easily, and he ran into the classroom. Suddenly, there was silence. John looked around the room. "What are you doing?" he asked the boys.
"We're going to run away," cried the oldest boy. "Mr. Squeers is in prison. He can't hurt us any more."
"Then do it," replied John. "No one in the world will stop you. But don't be cruel like Mr. Squeers. Be kind. Don't hurt Mrs. Squeers, Fanny and Wackford." The boys did as he asked and left Mrs. Squeers and her children alone. Then John Browdie got back on his horse and watched the boys as they ran out of the schoolroom and down the road. They were happy and free at last.